Thank you for joining with us on this 10th day of December. I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to 2 Timothy. Today, if the Lord wills, we will be reading the second letter to Timothy. And let us remember, as the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, these two letters that we've been reading these today and yesterday were written to Timothy. And Timothy was the son of a Jewish woman, and his earthly father is not named, but he was a Greek. And we don't know what happened to his earthly father, but he's never mentioned. I don't know if he was dead or if he had just left his family, but apparently he was not connected with his son and with his wife. And so therefore, the Apostle Paul took young Timothy under his wing and mentored him. And Timothy, he had a godly mother, and he had a godly grandmother. And his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois brought young Timothy up in the faith. And so the Apostle Paul had a good young man to work with. And he told Timothy, he said, "From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And he told Timothy, he exhorted him to give attention to reading. And he told Timothy to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Young Timothy had been given a great foundation. He was so blessed to have a godly mother and grandmother. And yesterday we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. He said, "Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Paul told Timothy to meditate upon these things. Meditate upon the Word of God. He said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." And today we'll read where the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And before we read this second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, let's talk just a little bit about some things that we read yesterday. And yesterday in our reading, in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul, the apostle, had left Timothy at Ephesus to correct the church there at Ephesus and to set the church in order. He said, "I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus." Well, Paul went on to Macedonia, and he said, "I'm going to leave you at Ephesus, that you might instruct those at Ephesus, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." And so do. And so Timothy was there at Ephesus to combat the errors that were arising in that church. And the Apostle Paul gave these instructions. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from your own congregation, men shall arise, speaking perverse things, contrary things to the doctrines which we, the apostles, have taught. And they will rise up to draw away disciples after themselves." And he told Timothy these evil things that he was going to have to combat. And there, the church at Ephesus was like all the churches in those early days of the church age. In the mid part of this first century, Christ was crucified around 33 A.D. And now, it's mid-century. It's about 51 A.D. And it's assumed that young Timothy is about 18 years of age. And in those days, the churches did not have church buildings in which to assemble together. It's not until about 200 years later that the big, large church edifices began to be built. And in particular, this city of Ephesus, because this is where Paul left Timothy. But in the city of Ephesus, there was a large number of believers. But the church did not meet together in one large building. The churches met together in people's homes. And so this made necessary many pastors and many deacons and many elders and many leaders. And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to give him instructions how to organize and how to supervise and how to carry on the work of a shepherd over these pastors. And the Apostle Paul gave Timothy the qualifications of a bishop. He said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And we read there in chapter 3 the qualifications of a bishop. And then we read the qualifications of a deacon. Then the Apostle Paul gave the charge that people are to behave themselves in the house of God. And it's interesting to note here that this church at Ephesus was already having this trouble. And so Paul left Timothy there. Paul knew that Timothy, though he was a young man, he said, don't let anybody despise your youth. Timothy, though he was young, he had been taught sound doctrine from a child by his mother and his grandmother. And though there is under shepherds whom are placed over local congregations, men with particular qualifications, the Apostle Paul knew and Timothy knew that Christ is the only mediator between God and man. There is no person, there is no system needed to bring men to God. And the church has always had a problem in this area. People of the church have always thought that they must do the work of salvation. And they've always had this idea of salvation by works. And they've always mandated a prescription and a dogma that you must follow to be saved. But something that is extremely important for us to grasp. The disciples asked Jesus. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And let us get that indelibly printed in our mind. It is the work of God that you believe. As Paul told Titus, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the church always have been plagued with somebody who wants to be your guru, wants to be your go-between, wants to be your intercessor, wants to be your priest. But there is no necessity for anyone else to intercede for us. Christ is our intercessor. We need no priest. We need no minister. We need no other saint. God needs no one beside him. And for us to place somebody between us and God is to dishonor Christ and to grieve God. And Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he told him, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And that is not to discredit the work of the evangelist and the work of the pastor and the work of the deacon and the work of every member of the body of Christ. But there has to be a balance here. And of course we believe in every member of the body of Christ praying for one another and interceding for one another. But we never exalt ourselves to the level where we think we're the go-between and you have to come to us and then we go to God for you. But Paul exhorted the congregation in public worship, praying. And he said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer for all men, intercessions, giving of thanks. That's a very important part of public worship when congregation comes together. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And Paul told Timothy, he said, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And God does place those in authority who are to have leadership over these particular congregations of the church. And there are qualifications that must be met. They must be the husband of one wife. They must be vigilant. They must be sober. They must be of good behavior. They must be given to hospitality. They must be apt to teach. That means that they first must be teachable before they can be teachers. Not given to wine. Not a scrapper. That's not a fighter. Not a brawler. Not argumentative. Not a contentious person. Not greedy of filthy money. But a person who is patient. Not covetous. One that ruleth well his own household, having his children in subjection. And he puts a little footnote. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? This person must not be a novice. That is, not inexperienced. Not a new convert. And Timothy, though he was a very young man, he had years of training. And he had years of wisdom behind him already. This does not go by chronological age. This goes by spiritual age and spiritual maturity. Not a novice. Must be a person of good report of them that are outside of the church in the community. They must be well thought of people. They must be people of integrity, people of character, people who pay their bills, people who live a life above reproach in the community. And it's very interesting as we continue reading the scripture. And in just a few weeks now, we're going to be reading in the book of Revelation. And it's very important for a local church to be balanced in these matters. Some people in the church want their pastor not to be the shepherd of the flock, that is, the under-shepherd under Christ, but the shepherd, the leader of the flock. They don't want their pastor to be the shepherd. They want their pastor to be the sheepdog. They want to be able to give orders to their pastor. They want to be able to tell him to fetch. They want him to be able to tell him to jump. And they want to see how high he can jump and how fast he can fetch. And they love to come to the pastor and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. And you need to call this one. And you need to go over here and you need to do that. Well, why haven't you done what I told you to do? Why didn't you go call that person? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Many people in the congregation want their pastor to be their sheepdog and perform their tricks for them. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the other side of the pendulum, you have those church members who exalt the pastor into their mediator, into their guru. And they place their pastor in the place of Christ. And it's interesting when we get into the book of Revelation and the seven churches of Asia that the Apostle John was writing to. It's very interesting that the message to the church at Ephesus was that they had left their first love. Now, this is after the death of the Apostle Paul. And this is probably after Timothy had moved on to another place of service. Timothy was at Ephesus when he was a young man, around 50 A.D. And now, when the Apostle John is writing this letter to Ephesus, and by the way, John was the longest living apostle. He was the last one of the apostles to leave this world. And now he's writing this letter to this church at Ephesus some 50 years later, around A.D. 96. And this church at Ephesus, and John writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That's strong words. And by the way, this is written by the Apostle John, but this message to the church at Ephesus is the word of the Lord. The Apostle John was merely the secretary. These are the words of Jesus himself. I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick, except thou repent. And churches do go apostate. And when a church goes apostate, when a people goes apostate, when a person goes apostate, as we'll read today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it's time for them just to take the name of Christ off their church. It's time for them to take the name of Christ out of their life. Paul wrote Timothy, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. And if you are not going to depart from iniquity, then just take the name of Christ off of your heading. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But if you will not repent, just take Christ off your name. But it's very interesting to note right here that this church here at Ephesus, now 50 years later, the angel of the church, the messenger of the church, writing this letter, the word of the Lord. But it's very interesting to note, though this church at Ephesus had some things that they needed to repent of, or Christ was going to remove their candlestick, He had one thing to compliment them on. He said, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." The church at Ephesus still held to the principles and to the teachings of the Apostle Paul and to Timothy about the role of a pastor and the role of a deacon. The Nicolaitans, that sect of people, refers to the beginning of the priestly order, or the clergy, that is, separating the people, what's known as the layman, from the clergy. That word in the Greek, it means to conquer the people. Nikoa means to conquer, and laiton means the people. Conquer the people. And we are to have respect to our pastors. We're to have respect for the elders of the church. But we are not to put them upon a pedestal. That leads to even more error. Jesus gave some stern warnings about this. In Matthew chapter 23, He talked about these people who want to be exalted in the congregation. They want to be known as the man of God. They want to be called reverend. I'll tell you something. Reverend is a name of God. God will not share His glory with another. We are not to usurp the position of God in the congregation. Jesus said they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not you called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Either be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And I want you to know something right here. When a church lifts their elders and their bishops up in the place of God, all kinds of perversion will take place in the church. And there are always those among us who love to have the praise of men. And they love to hear themselves called the reverend man of God. And all kinds of narcissists and all kinds of perverts and all kinds of pedophiles are edified into that position. And when children are abused by the clergy, they think that they are doing the service of God. And when the weak members are taken advantage of by perverted men in places of leadership of the church, they won't say anything because they think they are doing service to the Lord. Well, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about all of this. He told Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And the Bible has a lot to say about our conscience. It's called by many names, our conscience. And the Scripture is referred to as our heart, as our spirit, as our thoughts, as our eye. And it's very important that we keep our conscience tender. It's very important that we do not do as Pharaoh, that we do not harden our heart. Paul told Timothy, he said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." Our conscience is our moral compass that monitors and directs our conduct. And we're out of time here, and we could point to many cases of a good conscience. And it's important that we do not live a life of hypocrisy, a life of wickedness, a life of sinfulness. Because the Apostle Paul said, it will sear our conscience with a hot iron to where we don't even know the difference between right and wrong. And so many people who are hanging around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they think they are part of a congregation, but their conscience has been seared with a hot iron, and they don't even know the difference between right and wrong. They don't even know the difference between a moral and immoral lifestyle. Joseph, the old patriarch, when he had the opportunity as a young single man, when he was in Egypt, that beautiful Egyptian woman who was the wife of Potiphar, his master. She was the wife of an officer of Pharaoh. And she did what she could to seduce young Joseph as he was servant in her household. And she caught him by his garment and ripped off his clothing. And she commanded him, she said, "Lie with me." But Joseph said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he fled without his garment. And you know the story. It's in Genesis chapter 39. As he fled, he left his garment in her hand. And she took his garment, and she was insulted that this young Hebrew boy would not lie with her. And she accused him of attempting to rape her. And Joseph was bound and put in prison. And it's a great story how the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in prison. And by the way, this was for the redemption of the people of God. And this was for the preservation of the people of God. And this was for the preservation of that godly seed of Abraham, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. People of God must operate with a pure, clean conscience. Not a conscience seared with a hot iron for the proper work of the Lord to go forth on this earth. Joseph's clear, pure conscience resulted in the salvation of God's people. We're out of time now, and we will go to the Lord in prayer and then read our scripture for today. Father, we worship you today. We thank you so much that you give us your word that is so rich and so true. Let us study to show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bless us as we read your word today. Increase our faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest well. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach also. Thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus, and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, laid away with divers lust, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Take full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And that completes our scripture reading for today. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.